Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Great job. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Didn't they do a great job today? These two are standing up because they know what's happened. Please stand to your feet. This pastor again. They've learned me by now. All right. See how obedient you are. Is everyone in here obedient? Five of you are. So I'm going to pray for the rest of you. You guys can go ahead. How obedient are you? I want you to go to two people and say, I thank you and I thank God. Two people. There'll be a test afterwards. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Here's the test. How many of you did only two people? One? Two? A couple of you did. That's great. Great. No, it's great to fellowship, isn't it? Didn't you have a good time in worship already? You know, worship... Worship doesn't start at 10:30 and end at 11. Worship keeps going on. Worship doesn't stop. Amen. So give God a big praise. Give God a big praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, are you ready for the word? Well, do you have your Bibles or your devices? I don't know what you do with the devices in the Bible. It's just real difficult for me. But get ready, because Brother Eric's going to come and bring the word. So welcome, Brother Eric.
All right, are we on? All right, good. Shoo-wee. I am nervous, y'all. So nervous. All right, praise God. Amen. I'll tell you what, I think I'll always get nervous, though, because it's such an honor and a blessing to be able to share God's word, and I take it seriously, you know, as humbly as I can. I feel like I don't deserve this. I'm not worthy of it. But God, in his mercy, saw fit for me to be up here proclaiming the excellencies of God to you. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So before we get started, I just want to pray. Father God, I just ask that you just come in here right now, Lord, that you send in your Holy Spirit to anoint me, God, to be able to speak and preach your word with boldness, God, and with accuracy, Lord, that everyone in here will be anointed to be able to receive your word, God, and let it go from their head to their hearts, God, and let there be a heart change that they would walk out of here different than they came in, God. I pray we all leave out of here fired up for you and inspired by your word, Lord, to go out and do the works of God and to make a change and to be a change in this world, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, like I said, I want to talk to you about the mercy of God. First thing, I'm just going to go ahead and give you a definition real quick, and you can keep this in the back of your mind as we go through this Bible study. But the Greek word for mercy is eleos, and the definition is kindness or goodwill towards the miserable and afflicted, joined with the desire to help them. That's pretty good right there. And before I could get started talking about this word on mercy, the Lord put it on my heart. This is something that I went through in my personal walk. So I pray y'all don't hold this against me. The Lord has brought me out of this and I've grown from this. But it's a warning against pride. And And after I had been disciplined about pride, I received mercy. So I want to give you this word. As Christians, there are many things that we need to be on guard against, and one in particular that affects all of us or can affect all of us is pride. And for me, I had a period in my walk where I was maybe a year or two into my walk with the Lord, and I began to get prideful. I knew the word. I knew the Lord. I was on fire for the Lord. I didn't see everybody doing the same things that I was doing for the Lord, and I felt like, you know, what, like there's something wrong with other people. You know, they're not doing it like I'm doing it. Jeremiah, do you know, though, brother, that we all have different spiritual gifts, and that gift is going to be a motivation for you to do things in a certain way. And so if you don't see your brother or sister operating in the same gift that you're operating in, it don't mean that they're not serving the Lord. It's not going to look like how it looks when you serve the Lord because it's a different gift. But I got real judgmental, even to the point where I would be riding down the road. I would see somebody on a bicycle, and you know, it'd be like somebody I went to school or something with. And you could tell, you know, they're homeless or strung out on drugs or whatever. And I would say to myself, God, thank you that I'm not like them anymore. And that's how I would say it. And there's nothing wrong with being grateful for where God brought you from. But what we should do and think and say is not, God, thank you that I'm not like them anymore. Thank you that I'm not like the way I was. Amen. Thank you, God, that you delivered me out of that, you know. But again, I just got to where I thought, you know, if people wasn't walking and talking with the Lord like I was, if their walk didn't look like mine, I would be judgmental. And I've seen this happen to several of my peers along the way who are young in the faith. They get saved. They get on fire for Christ. This is exactly how I was. Get on fire for Christ. And then all of a sudden, we start looking at the problems with the body of Christ. And we think God has sent us here to disrupt the establishment and turn it upside down on its head. We're the one that God chose to come and correct all things. I see it all the time. And now because I've been through this, though, I can look at my brothers and sisters with this mercy in my heart, and I just want to love on them, and I just want to tell them, hey, look, please don't fall into this same trap that I went through. Please don't go this way, because it will destroy relationships that you'll never be able to build back. There's people that I hurt in my pride before that I love dearly, and I'll never be able to restore those relationships back to the place that they were because of something that I said in a moment of pride. There's a story like this in the Bible. It's Luke 18, 9 through 14. We're going to read through real quick. It says, and he also told a parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. This is Jesus. Give me just a second, guys. Thank you. And he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. So who'd he trust in, first of all? He trusted in himself, and he viewed other people with contempt. Next verse. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself. Who's he praying to? Praying to himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Can I tell you, first of all, that when I first got saved, I was like the second man in the parable. God found me. I was in a jail cell floor, and I was at my lowest. And he came to me and was merciful to me, and I was beaten. I didn't even feel worthy to look up. to speak out and call on the name of the Lord. But he saw fit to come into that jail cell and deliver me out of the bondage that I was in and set my feet up on a firm rock, the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And he delivered me and changed me and saved me because of the mercy of God. Because he saw my misery and my pitifulness, and he looked on me with a desire to help me change. My God, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for that. And then how could I go from that? How could I go from that to then being judgmental to my brothers and sisters in Christ? But it happens. It happens. You know, the Bible says that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. When you get saved, you get born again, you're on fire for God, you start reading in the scripture, and you start knowing scriptures, and you think you've got a new revelation on everything that nobody else has. Trust me, there's many men and women of God who went before you who have had that same revelation. The Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun. But God began to show me where he brought me from. And one day I was riding down through town, and I seen somebody like this on a bicycle. And I looked at him with sort of like disdain in my heart. I had this contempt, just like this Pharisee was saying. And God immediately convicted me. And he's like, boy, don't you remember where I brought you from? Don't you remember how crazy you looked? Don't you remember where I pulled you up out of the darkness into miry clay? Don't you remember? My goodness. He brought me back to the place. God was disciplining me because he loves me. I'm his child. He had to correct me, right? So in his love, he was correcting me. And all of a sudden, I'm back like this man that was beating his chest again. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm so sorry, God, that I judged your people. Forgive me, Lord. But God, who is rich in mercy, it wasn't me that saved me from that mess. It was God. It's not me with the power to change, but it's God. Let's look at Titus 3 through 6. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm just being touched by the Lord right now. God, thank you, Lord. Titus 3:3 says, for we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Next verse, please. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He saw I was pitiful and miserable, and he saved me. He made my spirit man come to life. Now I can walk in his ways. I'm no longer lame. I can see the goodness of God at work in my life. I'm no longer blind. I've been healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4:14 through 16. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so thankful, y'all. God, I'm so thankful. You know, the Bible says that you enter into his courts with praise. You enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Didn't we come here this morning to be in the manifest presence of God? Come on now. If you want to be in the manifest presence of God, you need to have a heart of gratitude. I'm telling you, that heart of gratitude will enter you access into the presence of the King of Kings, who can change everything for you just like that. Hebrews 4:14 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Whew. Mercy always goes before grace, because mercy is you not getting what you deserve. What we deserve is the wrath of God. We deserve the full punishment of God, but Jesus Christ took it upon himself in bodily form. Can we say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that you took the punishment for my sins upon the cross, for the sins of the world, God. Thank you, Lord. And grace is getting what you didn't earn, which is God's favor. Mercy makes room for us to receive grace, because first God must take away our guiltiness in order to bless us with his gifts. Check this out. Joseph had to be exonerated and freed from prison first. That was mercy. In order to be set up in the king's palace as the second in command of all of Egypt. That's grace. Mercy had to come in first and set him free. And then once he was free, God blessed him with gifts. He blessed him with power. He blessed him with a position to be able to make a change for his people when his own family came back to him and he was in a place where he could bless them. My God, that's the God I'm talking about. Who are we talking about? That's my king. Woo! Gosh, who are we talking about? That's my king. I'm telling you. See, the scripture says we find grace, but mercy is received. So we can be confident that when we come to God and enter into his manifest presence, seeking favor, seeking power and strength, and seeking God's will for our lives, we can have confidence that God will do it for us, because we will receive mercy on account of our high priest, Jesus, who was tempted in all ways like us, yet without sin. He knows the struggles we go through. He knows the temptations we have. He knows what it's like to be a human being. Yet because he was without sin, now he is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercessory prayers for us on our behalf. Amen. It's a beautiful thing. And that's why we can say this, praise God. 1 Peter 1:3-5 is such a beautiful thing, and that's why we can have this attitude that Peter had right here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Yes. Who are protected, listen how you're protected, by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. See, we're not protected by us and our own works. We're protected by the power of God. And his power don't never fail. It don't never let up. It's relentless. He's good at what he does. And we can take every word that he says to the bank. You know what I'm saying? Woo! But it's because of God's mercy for us that we are, his great mercy is what it says, that we are born again to a living hope. And do you know why it's a living hope? Because Jesus Christ is alive and living. And he is the anchor for our hope. All other great leaders of all other religions, of all times, of all followings and gatherings, they all passed away. They're in the grave, and that's where they stay. But Jesus Christ went to the grave, and on the third day, he resurrected again. And because he rose from the grave, guess what that means? We will also rise from the grave with him on the last day when that trump is called, and we'll be with him for all of eternity because of what Jesus did. That scripture says that God has reservations. What scripture is that? Is it verse 4? Let's go back, Lynn. Reserved in heaven. 1 Peter 1:4. My goodness. God has reservations for his children in heaven that are protected by the power of God through our faith in him to keep his promises to save us in the end. That's why Paul can say this in Philippians 1:6. And I'm certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Amen. Listen, did you know that the Bible says that he is able to save forever those who come to him through Jesus Christ? Look at Hebrews 7:27. This is in the Amplified Classic Version right here. I love the Amplified sometimes because it just takes the Greek and interjects it into the scripture. It just brings it to life and gives you a fuller, deeper meaning of it. Let's look at that, Lynn. Oh, you don't have Hebrews 7:27? Okay, sorry about that. We'll keep going then. But Hebrews 7:27 says that he is able to save forever those who come to him through faith in Jesus. Man, if God is the judge and he is merciful because of what Jesus did, and Jesus is your attorney at law, it's a closed case. Sealed the deal. We've already won. Because God has enacted a new covenant with his people that is based on the mercy of God and which is effective because of the blood of Jesus was poured out as an offering once and for all, according to Hebrews 7:27. And what is the new covenant? Ed was talking about it a little bit this morning in his Bible study and helped me a little bit with my nervousness because I knew that God was confirming his word this morning. Let's look at Hebrews 8, 10, and 12. It says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds. Verse 12. And I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. His new covenant is to live inside his people, making them the new tabernacle of God. Yeah. And because of mercy on our frailty and weakness, he will do away with our iniquities and remember our sins no more. I'm so thankful. God, I'm so thankful. Why? Because if you remember in the old covenant, if a priest tried to enter into the tabernacle of God, into the Holy of Holies, which they could only do once a year, but they had to make sure that they were ritually clean and that they had no spot on them, right? Because if they had any sin on them and they went into the presence of God, they would die. But God wants to have a relationship with his children, so he made a way that we could be cleaned and spotless before him and have a relationship with him forever. A personal relationship. He wants a relationship with his children so much that he sent his son to die on a cross and atone for our sins permanently. And by the mercy of God, we can know the Lord ourselves because we have a high priest who is always interceding for us on our behalf. This is a direct fulfillment. This scripture in Hebrews 8, 10, and 12 is a direct fulfillment of what the prophet Ezekiel prophesied about over 600 years before Jesus came on the scene. Ezekiel 36, 27, 26 through 27. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Aren't you so glad that God found you in your mess? And he said, not for your sake, but for my name's sake. Because I am a God of loving kindness, because I am a God of compassion that never fails, because I will be known as a God who is rich in mercy, that he takes out a heart that is calloused and unable to feel the heart of God, and he puts in a heart of flesh that pumps the blood of your heavenly Father. And he puts his spirit in you and gives you the desire to walk in his ways and not your own. just a second right there. If he didn't put the desire in us, we wouldn't have the desire to follow after him. We would be lost in sin. The Bible says you once were slaves to sin, but now you are slaves to righteousness. If God didn't put his spirit within you and cause you to walk in his ways, you would still be walking after your flesh in bondage as if a chain was tied around your hands and you had no choice but to follow it. But now you have a choice because God has given you his spirit and he is setting you free to be able to walk in his ways. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad his plans for me is different than what I have for myself. God had better plans for me. Plans to make me a family man. Plans to make me a godly man. A man on fire for him. A man of God preaching and teaching his word. God had better plans than I had. My plans were going to lead me to death and destruction. And in fact, it is a miracle that I'm not dead or in prison for the rest of my life. It's absolutely a miracle. That's only by the mercy of God. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10. He says, you are a chosen... says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but you now are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I love that verse 10. You once were not a people. Has anybody ever felt like they didn't belong before? There may be a certain circle or a school or even in your family or whatever it was. Everybody can probably relate to that at some point in time you just didn't feel like you belonged, like you wasn't wanted around. But it's one of the things that I love about Father's Vineyard the most because I feel like I belong here, you know? Yeah. I really do feel like I'm part of the family here, and that's thanks to people who have loving hearts, smiling faces, and open arms. And God said to me, and he's saying to all of you, that you may have felt like you didn't belong to a family, but you do. In fact, you belong in his family, the family of God. He has chosen you to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, and because he saw you in your misery and had pity on you and had a desire to change you, he poured out his mercy on us, his loving kindness. He called us out of the darkness we was in and brought us into his marvelous light and into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Therefore, our natural response should be to say, holy is our God. Great is our God. Proclaim the excellencies of God. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you've been saved, if you've been born again, if you've been delivered, if you've been changed, you got something to shout about and proclaim his name from the rooftops. It's not something to be taken lightly. Listen, I don't know about you, but I can't be quiet. I want to take this little light of mine and shine it all around. I want to let everybody see the good things that God has done for me. I want them to know that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the same thing that he did for me, he can do for you because God is not a respecter of person. If he did it for me, he can do it for you because he is a good God. He's been way too good for us to be quiet. And I don't know about you, but you can't shut me up because he's been way too good to me. He's been way too kind, way too merciful for me to ever back down, to be quiet, or to conform to anything else other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, which has the power to save souls for all of eternity. That's the power of God's word. It says in Romans 1:16 that I'm unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power to save. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power to save souls. So you keep proclaiming the gospel. Let's look at Luke 7:47. That's a big one, ain't it, Mike? Almost like a jet flying over there, huh? When you see some people that get fired up about God, they some people that get really fired up about God, and they don't mind to get a little bit undignified when it's time to praise and worship the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to be one of them people to the day that I die. I'm going to get up here and get undignified. Y'all might hear me. I feel bad for the people that's right around me that have to hear me sing, because I'm going to be loud. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. I'm going to sing at the top of my lungs to the Lord Jesus Christ and give him everything that I got. Somebody said that the Bible says to make a joyful noise to the Lord, and I do that, but they said it might not be joyful for everybody else. It'd be all right. Praise God. If you only knew where God has brought us from. Listen, God gave me this word right here. It says, when mercy is sown, love is grown. And right here is the example of it. In Luke 7:47, Jesus says, I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. So in the passage leading up to this, Luke tells us that Jesus was at the house of a Pharisee named Simon, and suddenly this woman pops in who is a known sinner. She falls down at the feet of Jesus, and she begins to wipe his feet with her tears. She's broken, and what does Psalms 51:17 say? A broken and a contrite heart he will not despise. Come on now. But the Pharisee had no mercy. Instead, he had self-righteousness. He said to himself, who'd he say it to? Earlier, there was a Pharisee. He was praying thus to whom? To himself. See a pattern here? So he said to himself, if this man really were a prophet, he would know what manner of woman this is, that she is a sinner. So Jesus tells him this, backing up a little bit in Luke 7:41 and verses 42. Verse 41, Jesus told him a story and said, a man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other. But neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Think about that for a second. You got somebody that owes you $500, you got somebody that owes you 50, and you forgive both of them their debts. Who do you think? Simon answered correctly. The most. See, we all owe a debt that we couldn't pay. But God. Thank God for Jesus. He was the only one who could pay that debt and make a way for us to be with him forever. Let's look at Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 5. This is in the Amplified Classic. Sorry, missed out on that other scripture. But God, so rich is he in mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. Verse 5, it says, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. Listen to this. He gave us the very life of Christ himself. Next verse. The same new life with which he quickened him, for it is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. Praise God. You hear that, though? God loved us with an intense love. An intense love while what? While we were dead in our trespasses, he loved us that much. Enough to send his own son to die on a cross for us. And do you think now, because you've got born again and then you go and make a mistake, that all of a sudden he doesn't love you anymore? Now you have been adopted into his family as one of his child, one of his heirs. Everything that he's got is yours. He's going to relinquish the whole kingdom to you. And you think now because you made one little mistake that he's going to all of a sudden cast you out? That's not the mercy of God. Listen, he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. He has cast our sin as far as the east is from the west into a sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered anymore. So when you do fall short and miss the mark, what do? Get up. Amen. Get up and turn around. Repent and turn away from the way that led, turn away from the way of thinking that led you into sin. And when you turn away from this erroneous way of thinking, Acts 3:19 promises that times of refreshing will come from the Lord. And the goodness and mercy of God will wash over you and clean your conscience so that you can serve him in the newness of life. Listen, if you're beat down and you think that God won't listen to you because you've done something that now that you're ashamed of, and you think now all of a sudden that God won't listen to you, you're not going to come boldly into his throne of grace where you can receive grace and mercy in time of need. But what we need is we need to understand that God, in his human form, when he came in the form of Jesus Christ, he was tempted in all ways just as we are, yet without sin, and now he can sympathize with our weaknesses. And so when we mess up and we fall short, God has already made a way for us to come back into his presence, to come back into the presence of God. And listen, I've got just a few minutes here. If there's anybody here that doesn't know the mercy of God, if you've never received the mercy of God and you want to receive his goodness and his kindness and have his favor upon your life, if you want to walk with a clean conscience, your heart has not been clean, and there's something that God's been dealing with you on and you want to get right with the Lord, I just want to take a few minutes and just come up here right now. If there's anybody that doesn't have that mercy of God, that wants to be made right with God. All family, praise God. Amen. That's all I've got except for a prayer, and I know Pastor Terry can come wrap it up for me. Father, I just thank you so much for this word of mercy, God. I thank you, Lord, for everybody that's heard it. God, I pray that it would go from their head to their heart, God, and that they would begin to be able to walk in the newness of life that Jesus Christ has provided for us. God, I pray that people who have been like I once was and are judgmental against those who are outside, God, that they see the great potential that you can do through anybody, Lord, and that they would begin to walk with humility, God, and they would begin to see people the way that you see them, Lord, full of compassion and kindness and goodness and mercy. And Lord, may we be that help that they need, the stepping stone, God, to lift them up. And God, may the only time we look down on somebody be when we're lending them a hand up. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
preacher and a servant. Great, 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 great. Wonderful job. Yeah. Wonderful job. From God. From God, from God. There's one appeal that I would like to add on to his appeal. Undoubtedly, everybody in here has received mercy from God. But here's the next appeal. It's one thing to receive mercy, and that's how he started off his message today. He received the mercy at the beginning, even to the place of his grateful heart. But somewhere along the line, he was able to receive the mercy, but wasn't able to give it. That's the appeal today. Are you able to give mercy? Are you able to look at the man on the bicycle and give mercy? See, when we can't give mercy, we can't give grace. Because we'll have a critical spirit. We'll have a judgmental spirit, even though we receive the mercy of God. So the appeal now is to all of us who have difficulty in giving mercy to people. The thing about that we think they deserve certain things, but not given what they deserve. All of us are in that category. We didn't get what we deserved. We got mercy. Mercy. When you leave here today, you're going to run into people that need mercy. And when we don't have that mercy, we're unable to give the gift of empowerment to speak to them in a way that God wants them to hear. So I want you to weigh your heart this morning. Are you good at giving mercy? Or do you stumble? Or do you hold back because these people that you're seeing or rubbing against don't fit a certain category? See, the realness of us living out what was preached today is to receive the mercy from God, not getting what we deserve. And then at the same time, affording that to others. What they look like, what they do, what they smell like, how they behave. God is wanting us to show forth the same mercy that he gave us while we were what? Yet sinners. We're going to run into people that are yet sinners, that are yet people that don't know Christ, or maybe know Christ and have a judgmental spirit. So that's the call today. Weigh your heart. Put it on the scale. The scales of life in him. And if you're one that needs to exhibit more mercy, you need to translate that mercy from not just receiving, but to give. Give mercy. When you're able to give the mercy, then you're able to give help. Find grace in your need. You'll find help in your need of grace. You'll need it. People need the grace and need the help. We can't give that when we don't have mercy. Because we've already got this critical thing in our mind about where we're putting these people. So I think it's an excellent message, an excellent call today, brother. I think it's so needed, so needed, so needed. So, if that's you, you need to show more mercy, and you want God to show his mercy through you. And believe me, he will send people that will agitate you. Get on your, my mama used to say, my last nerve. I don't know how we found the last one, but I always found her last nerve.
Y'all with me? So you'll come in contact. But just remember the word today that came to you from God through this man of God. To be able to give mercy that they don't deserve, but you're giving it. They deserve the mercy. But sometimes we'll put a little bit more on them because of this, because of that. So if you're one of those, if you're like me and you want to exhibit more mercy, I want you to listen. Don't stand because we're about to leave. I really don't want that. I really want, if you are saying, God, I want to be able to expand my mercy, the mercy you've given me, I want to give it to everybody I see. That's you. That's you. Remember this day. This is not just a day. This is a day that what? The Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad. And one thing you got to be glad about today is you heard the word of God in such a way that penetrated your heart and our lives. So you're going to leave this place and you're going to be givers of mercy. Not quick to judge, not quick to be critical. And then once you give that mercy, you're going to be able to give a gift of grace to be able to speak to them as God would be speaking to them about their future, about what they have available for them. Hey, brother, come up and pray for them.
Praise God. I praise you, Lord, for every person that's standing up right now, God, who wants to receive the mercy of God, but also be able to give that mercy of God in such a way that people can see it and receive it, and they'll see the very heart of Jesus, the very heart of God reaching out to them, God, and they'll see the true sons and daughters of God manifesting in this world, God, being the hands and feet of Jesus, making a change and being impactful, God. Lord, I pray where anybody who has been like me and had a critical spirit, God, I pray that you would give them the desire, Lord, to humble themselves before they are humbled under the mighty hand of God. Lord, so that you may lift them up in due season, God. And Lord, you may be the one doing the exalting. And God, may we always remember that every person that we see is a person that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for. And every person has the God-given potential to be somebody great and effective in the kingdom of God. Lord, I ask that we are reminded not to despise the small beginnings, for the Lord loves to see the work begin in someone's heart when they turn and come to you, Father. So, Lord, I pray right now as these people are turning their hearts to you, God, that you would turn to them and may your face shine upon them, Lord, your glory shine upon them. May your favor be on them. May the power to change and deliver, God, be upon them. And may they know you in a fresh way and begin to walk with you and talk with you in a fresh way, God, and bring us back to a place like Adam and Eve was in the garden, where we are walking with you in the cool of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.